Blog Talk Radio.
Radio or any radio to talk East Rutherford football. Jim and Eddie here with you on a Tuesday night. Eddie, good evening. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Feeling vibrant, feeling vital. And I hope you're feeling, you sound like you're on the mend. You're on your way back. And not on your back. So I hope you're doing good. Good weekend of football, a lot of football to ingest, and hitting us, your Giants, our Giants, well, I guess our Giants in the context of this program are playing on Thursday. Quick turnaround for those gents.
3 days rest.
That's not good.
No. Right? I'll tell you. No. The team that's came out of that Tampa Bay game a little banged up. 3 days rest. Against Carolina, in Carolina, chasing around Cam Newton. Pray for rain to slow him down.
Well, you know, I, you know, without getting into the specifics of what I think is going to happen in the game, you know, Carolina is, you got to contend, and I'll get into this, maybe I'll start off with it. You got to contend with Eli Manning and, you know, Victor Cruz, who I did throw a damper on at the beginning of the season. It's a long way to go, but with an offense, and this is my point, maybe I don't get it. I live in New York, and I see the Giants, and I see the highlights of the Giants, and bombarded with it all the time, you know, and of these giant bombs, and we have a certain person in our group who likes to post everything, a lot of the long catches by the Giants. But do these other teams get it? I mean, do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who know the Giants have an injured Ahmad Bradshaw, which may not even matter, because he looked more productive spitting sunflower seeds on a sideline than he looked on the field, that they are going to throw triple cover these. Don't even cover anybody else. Get on these guys. So I think the Giants have kind of, you know, in New York it was a big, you know, hullabaloo about, don't people realize that they have that kind of offense, and you got to respect them. I think the Giants get no respect from the rest of the NFL, and that's why Tampa Bay got burned, because, you know, they blew a 25-point lead. Just a 25 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was a 14-point lead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little absurd.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm 30 to 35 years watching the Giants every Sunday, and I've never seen a Giants offense that's got this kind of firepower where you can shut down one, even two wide receivers, and there's a third guy that can get you. Or, you know, the starting running back comes out of the game, and the backup looks better. You know?
Well, yeah.
And then you've got, you got a tight end that seems to be coming along. You know, a good, I think Bennett is going to be a force as a pass-catching tight end, although he did drop a touchdown pass that could have burned them on Sunday, but. But I mean, it's fun to watch, but scary as hell on defense. It's a complete role reversal to what Giant fans are used to.
No pass rush. Where's his pass rush? Looks like the Jets pass rush you got.
Well, a little better on Sunday than it was previously.
I don't know. They don't get a pass rush against it. I think they'll do. I'm actually predicting them to beat Carolina. Carolina, I watched a lot of that Carolina game. One thing Carolina can do is run the ball effectively. They kind of have the almost a three-headed monster. They have Stewart. They have Deshaun. What's his name? Williams. Not Deshaun. Whatever. Williams. I can't think of his first name.
D'Angelo.
D'Angelo. I knew it was a D. And they got this Tolbert they bring in on the goal line. And Cam Newton's a phenom. It's going to be a close one, but I can see that, you know, if these teams still continue to underrate the firepower of the Giants, and a lot of it is pure skill. I mean, some these guys have, I mean, Victor Cruz is fast as lightning. Jeez. Although, one of those plays, I think, would have been called back, one of the touchdown passes, had the real refs. But that's going around the whole league. I thought that Knicks pushed off on that guy, on the gain separation. But that's just minor stuff. No way Tampa should have lost that game, and the Giants took it from them. And that's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you did. So Giant fans got a reason to be happy.
Absolutely. Eli Manning with a career day. Crappy first half, three picks.
Yeah, booing, you would tell you. You said there was some booing going on, I saw on the...
Do we want to get right into that?
Yeah, well, this is what this show's about. Let's get into the good, the bad, and the ugly of both teams.
All right. So, as usual, you know, I'm kind of... While the game's on, I'm kind of going along on Twitter. And, you know, things weren't going well for the Giants as we're heading towards halftime. And that third interception that Eli threw, just when it looked like the Giants were going to kind of swing the momentum around. And I thought, you know, and I think most people thought, they think they were down 16, 30, I forget what the score was. I think they were down by 3. And I think everybody, most people expected, you know, they were going to drive back down, score a touchdown, go into the half ahead. And then they throw the pick, and it all falls apart. And people on Twitter getting on Eli Manning, first of all.
Now, Eli, were these Jet fans or Giant fans or
no,
other fans?
These were Giant fans. I'll get into what Jet fans are talking about in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about that, too. But Giant fans, Eli sucks. Oh, Eli's. Get him out of there.
Oh,
why do I watch this team every Sunday?
What?
Are you out of your fucking mind? Why do I watch this team every Sunday?
Spoiled.
You know, let me tell you something. Let me tell you fucking nincom fucking poops something. Who call yourselves Giant fans. You're 18 years old. You think you've been through the wars of Giant football, okay? I sat through the 70s. I sat through the early 80s. I was there when they were 3-12-1 with Bill Parcells, Butch Wolfolk at running back, running out Scott Bruner and Jeff Rutledge at quarterback before Phil Simms could finally find a way to stay healthy. I was there when Ray Hanley destroyed a Super Bowl champion team before he got busted with a transvestite in Bergen County and run out of town. I was there for that. I was there for Tommy Maddox with Dan Reeves. I was there for Jesse Palmer, still the most scared human being I've ever seen play quarterback in the NFL. Danny Cannell, Dave Brown, Kent Graham. You're going to tell me Eli Manning sucks? You're a bunch of fucking morons. You don't know shit about the Giants. I've forgotten
more about
the Giants than some of you nincompoops will ever know. Eli Manning sucks. You have any idea? Do you know... I'm not talking to you necessarily. I'm talking to Giant fans out there. That if he has, right now, granted, he is coming off a 511-yard or 513-yard game, whatever it was. But the pace he is on right now, yardage-wise, he will become, if he keeps it up, granted, that is a slim chance. So if he doesn't do it this year, he'll do it next year. He will become the Giants' all-time leading passer in 9 seasons. How many years did Phil Simms play with the Giants? Forget it. I'll tell you. 14. Eli's going to do it in 10. I don't think I didn't have a chance to go back and look at the numbers, but I do not believe there is another quarterback in Giants history who's won two world championships. Eli's done it. 25 fourth quarter comebacks in his career. I'd love to know how many
there's
Montana
no better,
had.
There is no better clutch quarterback in the NFL. That's it. There's end of story. End of story. How could you say he sucks? And I want to tell you something, Jim. I know you're ranting. And I don't want to deflate your rant. But
no,
this
sir.
Is my problem.
Cutter,
oh, go.
93 was Sims' last season, and the Giants cut him on June 14th, 1994. And I think, well, do you know why? It was because they tried to sneak it in on the headlines because the Rangers won the Cup. They figured nobody would pay attention. They could stick it on the sports section, and it wouldn't be a big deal because the Rangers were in the Cup. And that was all Dan Reeves. Fire. I wouldn't piss on Dan Reeves if he was on fire. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Next week on the show, Dan Reeves.
Absolutely. You're going to tell us about all those Super Bowls you won.
So, here's the scoop.
And I'm getting text messages from people listening that they absolutely love Nincom fucking poops.
Well, a lot of them are. Because, see, you have to understand, as an older gentleman, an older handsome gentleman like yourself, I used to break bread with the Giant fans. We used to share stories of misery and woe, and the Giants used to surpass the Jets many times over in tales of woe and how we lost, and I felt empathetic towards them. I mean, even after the Giants won the Super Bowl with Parcells, listen, I'm so glad for Giant fans, but in this environment, the Bella Bell generation, I'm not singling out Bella Bell, but, you know, in her age range, there are a lot of nincom fucking pumps.
Right.
And I don't consider them Giant fans. They have, like, a sense of entitlement every game. Oh, they haven't been through the rigors that you have. That, you know, and the trials and the tribulations.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, again, we've talked about it on the other show. It's the, you know, there's so many ways to vent the frustrations in these, and you know, some of these the younger generation, the 18, 20 year old, 21, you know, maybe they grow up Yankee fans and they grow up Giant fans, right? Now, if you're a Yankees and a Giants fan and you're 21 or 22 years old, you've had a pretty goddamn good 15 years. You know, I mean, you've seen 6 Yankee World Series, if I'm not mistaken. And 2 Giants Super Bowls. So, but let me tell you something. There were some, we earned, at least Giants, I mean, when the Jets ever win that Super Bowl, their fans will have paid for it. They will have, to quote Admiral Kirk, they will have paid for the party with their dearest blood. Giant fans suffered. Jets fans continue to suffer. Don't give me this. Why do I continue to watch this team in week fucking 2 of a Super Bowl title defense?
Right.
Have we forgotten what happened 7 months ago? Is it that far? Is it that far? That long ago?
They don't care. It's what you do now.
Ridiculous. Go look up Bill Arnsparger. You're sitting listening to the show. Google Bill Arnsparger and the 2-12 1975, I believe, New York Giants.
Ron Johnson.
Well, Ron Johnson was the lone bright spot.
I know.
My friend
used to have a poster.
When they didn't have a home, Giant fans were driving to goddamn New Haven, Connecticut to watch the Giants in the Yale Bowl. You'd go to the bathroom and you had to pee on the wall because they didn't have toilets. My father used to go. That's how I know these stories. My first Giants game was at Shea Stadium. They didn't have a home. The Yankees kicked them out.
That's right.
2-12 was a 14 game season.
The Jets organization was so gracious to let you play there. Did you play in the Yale Bowl too?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. New Haven, Connecticut, the Yale Bowl,
yeah.
Shea Stadium. Shea Stadium is the only stadium in the history of sports to play host to four professional sports franchises. It's the only one. Anyway, the Yankees had kicked them out. They had no place to... Norm Snead. Go look up Norm Snead. Jerry Goldstein, the Jewish bomber quarterback that they had in the 70s. Randy Johnson. Randy Dean.
They used to call, Goldstein, the little Jew who threw.
Right.
I just made that up.
The parade
the Jew who
of
threw.
Bums that passed through Maritech in the 70s. The famous sign, welcome to the 18th year of our 5-year rebuilding plan. They play in New Jersey because the state of New Jersey offered to build them a stadium back in the early 70s. That's why they play in New Jersey.
That's right.
To answer now, John's question.
Now they play in Jet Life Stadium.
Yeah. It's a jet town. It's a jet town.
Well, they fill the stadium every week. I don't understand. It's not like there's empty seats there. Guys, you're a little sensitive. That's what else I noticed. A lot of these Giants fans, they came out. As soon as they got that W, they were out. And so the Jets' pathetic performance, they had. But I keep hearing the Jet fans are crying. I don't see where they're crying. Where are they crying?
The Giants fans,
the age range that I don't participate, that they're crying?
Giant fans, they smell fucking blood, don't they? The minute the Jets lost. Where are you, Jets fans? Where are you? You lost.
They're like Jaws. Just chum in the water.
I got news for you. Giant fans weren't making a peep until about 5 to 4 Sunday afternoon, East Coast time.
It was very quiet. No, I see one. I saw one person who was provoked. Cried in our group. And now listen, Adam, dude, you got to get thicker skin, and that goes for other people as well. Don't go personal. I mean, there's a way of ribbing another guy by or another gal by, we're just focusing on the teams only.
But then it gets, see, the other thing is that it gets to the point where people get do it. They antagonize Adam because they know they're going to get to him, you know. Sean Avery, you know?
Instigator penalties I got to give out.
Exactly.
Well, I don't mind you throwing it. Listen, it's all in good fun. You throw it at somebody's face.
Right.
You know, listen. You try to have a little fun. But then you never show your cards. If it really bothers you, never let it then know it. That's the thing.
I just got a text. Don't get all worked up. You're gonna strain your heart.
Yeah.
Like a Pete Franklin sitting here.
I mean, I thought the 9-7 Giants of last year.
13-7. Not 9-7.
If you go to the NFL standings, if you look, it just says 9-7.
13-7.
9-7 Giants really should have lost against 4-12. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, you really didn't. I mean, the Giants didn't beat any world beaters. I mean, I know Tampa won their first game, but they got a lot of problems. Giving up 370 yards in total yardage in the first two games.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to disagree with you. They came out of that game with a lot of, you know, for a win. There's a lot of question marks in that game.
Right,
Princess Amakamura. He better get healthy fast.
You know I have Ramon Bradshaw on my team. I want to strangle that idiot. I was reached through the TV screen. I was yelling to the guys with them, like, yeah, you get points for guys spitting sunflower seeds? Fucking move. And then, on the flip side, maybe Jones would say, how about a flip side? What about those Jetsies? Oh, boy. First of all, the first half wasn't bad. The Jets just didn't have possession of the ball. They played right into Pittsburgh's, you know, wheelhouse. I think they had like four or five possessions in the first half only, the Jets. They scored on two of them, which of the Jets is like, you know, they're ablaze offensively when that happens. Sanchez looked all right. They ran the ball okay. They were in the game. And then Sanchez just, I mean, he blew it in the second half.
Yeah.
He was terrible. Now, he wasn't helped by a lot of their receivers. That somebody please cut that rot Santonio Holmes out of the Jets team. I can't stand him. He makes me nauseous. He is a total disgraceful human being. No, a teammate. He's a disgraceful teammate. There was one play that Sanchez made, and it was underthrown. There was no way he was going to catch it. But Holmes Holmes could if he came back, but he just gave up on the play and just stopped. And I was like, get this guy off this team. I know he's the only thing that they have, but I'd rather have, you know, Curly or whatever, more Larry and Curly out there than this guy. This guy is a cancer that needs to be eradicated from the Jets squad, in my opinion.
Well, you know what I noticed about Holmes on Sunday is that every time the ball was thrown to him, if he doesn't catch it, he's getting up throwing his arms in the air. He wants a penalty. Every play, he wants a penalty.
I hate that. I hate that. And, listen, everybody says, oh, Revis was hurt, this, the blah, 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 blah. Listen, there was no Palomalu for Pittsburgh. They played without Harrison. I think what hurt the Jets more was probably no Dustin Keller. They needed to really keep that game close through possession, and they just didn't win the possession game, and they eventually just, you know. It's a tough thing to go into Pittsburgh and win. It's a tough place to win. The Jets have only won once there in their whole franchise history. They didn't look good.
In Pittsburgh in general or at Heinz Field?
I think in Heinz Field, right? But I think the Jets in general, I think our franchise like 1-9 when they play there now.
Hmm.
So they don't win up there when they play.
Look that up.
Yeah. So you have to understand, as a Jet fan, the expectations aren't that high. I don't know what people are talking to, what other people, other Jet fans. But as a Jet fan, going into the season with the limited offensive weapons that they have, although they have a great, I wouldn't say great, but a good defense, until they get a pass rush, I don't care how good the cornerbacks are. They need to put pressure on the quarterback. They don't do that enough. And basically, Pittsburgh's got enough. Pittsburgh had enough. What's the word I'm looking for? They had enough experience in playing, you know, that type of game. And the Jets, listen, there was a lot of problems with the Jets. It's only 1 week.
Just to give you some stats here, you were correct. The Jets have won once in Pittsburgh. And that was at Heinz Field in 2010. They never won at Three Rivers. And it looks like, I don't remember when Heinz Field was built. I'm going to guess around 2003. It might have been earlier than that. I'm going to say the Jets were probably 0-4 or 0-5 at Three Rivers.
They never used to win there. I remember Terry Branch was a new one every time he played.
And here's a... two useless facts for you. Three. The Jets are 8-1 lifetime against the Minnesota Vikings, 0-9 lifetime against the Eagles, and 9-1 against Tampa Bay.
So we got to line Tampa up.
Well, do you remember that game when they ran up the score against Tampa?
Don't recall.
Well, there was a game. I'm looking at the, just to refresh my memory. I'm looking at the. If I remember, in the end of 1984, the Jets went into Tampa Bay and played Tampa Bay, and they thought that Tampa Bay ran up the score on them. Following season, they got Tampa Bay to come to New York, and the Jets beat them 62-28.
Oh,
they kind of got a little. Mickey Schuler caught three touchdown passes that day.
Oh, jeez. He actually owns a lumber yard, or did out here.
Does he?
Suffolk County, yeah. Now, speaking about running it up, end of game hijinks, what's your take, what's the chat room's take on Tampa kind of crossing the line there at the end of the game? What's your take on that and you know, This whole controversy that's arise, and a lot of guys are pro Tampa, which I find pretty surprising. What's your take?
Well, here's my take. You know, in however many years they've been doing this kneel down, you know, that's not something you see very often. Actually, I can't say I've ever seen it. Maybe one other time. But you know, when the quarterback takes the snap, He's already on his knee when he's got the ball, right? Now the linemen are all driving down to as the quarterback takes the knee. The chances of getting the defense getting to the ball because Eli's down, right? His knee's on the ground, so the minute somebody touches him, the play is dead anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, the odds of getting the ball in that situation are probably 1,000,000,000 to 1. Okay. And, you know, everybody's, it's a formality of a play. Somebody could get hurt. And stuff like that has a way of coming back around at you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing I'm always thinking about. You know, it is what it is. I'm not going to, you know, I didn't cry about it. You know, I think some of the Giants and some of the fans have kind of gone on a little too long about it. It is what it is. Coughlin said his piece at you know, the middle of the field at the end of the game the other day, and that should have been the end of it. But it is a situation where somebody could get hurt, and I think, you know, and I think it's just another, you know, there's no rule against it, so they weren't breaking any rules, but, you know, it's kind of like, it's one of those.
It was sour grapes. I don't care what you say. They were pissed that they lost. They were pissed that they lost. The only reason they did that. I don't buy the coaches. What's his name? Not Sperano, but something like that.
Schiano. Greg Schiano.
Okay. Luciano there from Rutgers. It's all done. Well, this is all I was doing. Play, I tell my play. Now, the players, I don't fault. Because the coach implicitly told them, I want you to play every play. Come at him. They were just doing what the coach told. So it's all on the coach, I'm sorry.
Right.
He says, we play to the whistle. We play to the whistle. Well, how come he didn't do that in the first half when the Giants took the knee? When the Giants ended that half, they took the knee.
Right.
And they didn't come at him. It's only when they got embarrassed, and gave up 25 points in the fourth quarter that they decide that we're going to play whistle to whistle. That's why I think it's a bunch of bullshit, and I think it's sour grapes. Do I, am I going to make a big deal of it and say this guy, you know, is Bush League and this, maybe it's a little Bush League, but they were pissed. He was pissed he lost.
Right.
And they gave the order. It's sour grapes.
Right, and the Giants lineman said that when they were standing at the line of scrimmage, and they said they could tell by the defensive linemen's faces that they didn't want to do it, but they had to follow orders. You do what you're told.
Well, we've heard that before.
Right.
Now, Cutter is right. Cutter historical here, saying, but wasn't the type of stuff that set off the miracle of the Meadowlands? And he's correct.
Absolutely.
That they tried to knee it, they kneeled down. There was like an altercation that I vaguely remember. And
a similar
Giants,
type of, yeah, pushing.
Right.
And for some reason, the Giants were worried about Joe Pisarcik getting hurt.
Gotta
protect lethargic at all costs. The franchise. Patterson Plank Joe is my father.
Now, in on that play, when you watch that play on replay, how do you feel Eli Manning was handled when, on that particular play? Like, if you just spotlighted Eli Manning on that, what would you say? I kind of have a point, but I'll be playing the audio next week, because I a couple weeks ago, I tried to tell you and inform you about these giant announcers who are probably, and I'm saying this as objectively as I can, the most homeristic. I mean, they make Jim Gordon look like he was, like, arbitrary. I mean, when, oh, my God, Manning gets pummeled. Pummeled. The pummeled, that was the word he used. And he's like, they just attacked him. It was like next time
he was bludgeoned.
Bludgeoned. And it's announced, this is how Bill Papa, whatever that guy's name is, Bob Papa. He goes,
Papa.
Giants in their victory formation. Victory formation? They're just taking a knee. The Giants have a victory. No, sorry, Cutter. Sorry. I listen to a lot of Giant games on radio. Because after the Jets are done, I'm in the car.
headed for Dairy Queen.
Yeah. I mean, give me breath. And he just pummeled Eli Manning.
Eli Manning just took the worst beating a white man has ever taken. Special Manning.
So, I got to play the clip. I don't have it uploaded, but next week I promise I'll upload the clip. I didn't get a chance to upload it today. You know, maybe I can email it to you. Maybe during the show, you can get them up pretty quick. So anyway, I don't think it shouldn't be that big of a deal. A lot of guys have been on the side of this of Tampa. Ditka and
fuck him.
Daniel Pierce.
Ditka.
Fuck, did you say fuck Ditka?
Fuck Ditka. He's such an idiot. I mean, come on. Well, I mean, really. He's a terrible, he's so overrated just in everything. I mean, he was a good player, but Buddy Ryan won that Super Bowl with that defense.
Oh, yeah, well, go to Chicago and say that.
And then
pictures of every bar. He's like a god.
Yeah, it's like going to Jamaica and insulting Bob Marley.
So,
but come on.
I mean, I have to say, even Gandhi's ghost came out. Gandhi's ghost came out in favor of that. Just a lot more people than I thought they would have. So, I haven't really talked much about the Jets. Saints has blew up. They can't run the ball. Sean Green, he should be on the sidelines spitting sunflower seeds along with Ahmad Bradshaw. They just can't get the run going. And I don't understand how you're going to win games if you're going to be ground and pound and you don't have the ground and you can't pound it. So, it's going to be up and down season, and now you're looking ahead, and you play when they play the Dolphins this week.
Yep. Your arch nemesis.
The Dolphins, Reggie Bush looked good.
Yeah, what do you have, 176 yards?
He was juking. He was fantastic. And I don't know about this Tannehill with the quarterback. He looks pretty bad. But I don't think the Jets are as bad as they played last year, and I don't think the last week, and I don't think they're as good as they were in week one. They're probably somewhere in the middle.
Right. Right.
You got to take it game by game, and I think
Hey, look, it's all about going 9-7.
Basically, if you can get to 9-7, you could win the Super Bowl. I've seen it happen.
I was alive to tell the tale.
I was alive. You get in those playoffs, anything can happen. You get hot at the right time.
Now, where do you stand on Jesus and the Wildcat here? Is Are they not getting Tim Tebow involved enough? Or
and one play with him, it looked fantastic. You know,
22-yard run, right?
Looked great. Then they went back to the Sanchez after that, and then it was like, I'll tell you one thing. He is a maniac because he's, like, screaming. Like, he's so excitable. And I'm so used to the Jets not being like that. Like, I don't know. He's, like, screaming, and he's all pumped up, and he kind of wants you to get – you want to get pumped up.
Right.
But then it's right to the same old, same old. So I don't think – and I've been reading the papers, you know, watching the TV – there hasn't been a clamoring get Tebow in there over for Sanchez. I think Jets fans feel, and I think the jury is out, is in on Sanchez as far as being, is this the guy that can win a Super Bowl? I think, in my opinion, the jury is in, and it's no. Okay? Is he a better quarterback than Tebow right now? Yes. I think He can help the Jets to the playoffs. He's good. I can't even say he's good. He's good at times, and he's not good at times. And he misses a lot of his targets, and that bothers me. Do I think Tim Tebow's the answer? Not yet. I mean, if the Jets find themselves, 2-4 or 1-5, then you'll see Tebow. But Jets got a lot of problems. They got to run the damn ball. You can't run. You can't throw unless you got to mix it up. Unless you got guys like the Giants have. They have two burners, and they have a guy who can throw one of the best long balls in the game. And he's the most clutch quarterback in the game. So when people keep throwing this, why are you arguing with me? Who's better, Sanchez or Eli? I mean, this is a retarded argument. I mean, Eli, what are we going to do? That's me and, Revis or Corey Webster. I don't know. There's no comparison. It takes a village to state. Jets are a collective village that's talking up.
Corey Webster, again, was pretty brutal in the early part of the game. He did get an interception later in the game, but their secondary as a whole looks bad right now. And I think we're starting to see that the team that at the end of the year last year was a team that just got hot and got it all right, but. Because right now, even in wins, they look a lot more like the team that went 7-7 than the team that went 6-0. But
yeah,
We'll see. Plenty of time to get it all together and get it rolling. Maybe the princess comes back and solidifies the cornerback position and get some.
It's good.
I am on record, by the way. And this is just a hunch. I'm just getting that feeling that Amakamura is going to be a bust. And that's not to knock the Giants scouting department, because there isn't a team in the league that if he was available at the 19th spot or wherever he had fell to last year, that wouldn't have grabbed him. I just got that feeling. Some guys have it, some guys don't. And I'm just getting the feeling that he's just – his teammates don't see – there was that whole hot tub incident, or the cold tub, excuse me. They're trying to toughen him up. He's not tough enough. I just got a feeling that
there was a hot tub incident or a cold tub incident?
Cold tub. You didn't see the hazing that they did on him?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was a whole video. They dumped him in the ice tub, and he wasn't happy about it. And the players said that, they were trying to toughen him up a little bit. And apparently he's a little bit of a whiner. And so I got a bad feeling about him. I hope he proves me wrong, but we'll see. All right, anyway, back to you.
Back to you. Well, I'll give the phone number out. Maybe somebody would actually like to call us the Nincompoop Show.
Costa is on hold. 646-478-4692 is the number if you want to call in. Yes, Cutter, the Mets AAA club is moving to Las Vegas. I posted that on Facebook last night. Eddie and I will give you our picks before the end of the show. Let's bring on Costa. Costa. Costa, what's going on? Don't hit the old lady in the front yard.
Oh, Jim,
you have to be the old lady. And you had to watch out for the cat when you were riding.
I sent you that file.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the manager
sent
it. Your Gmail.
All right, go grab it.
So, Costa.
What's going on, Costa?
Yeah, what's up?
Now, Costa messaged me during the Atlanta-Denver game last night, which was kind of a snooze fest in the first half, but I don't know what was going on with Peyton, man. He was throwing, he looked like his neck was not healed. Throwing wounded ducks up there. But anyway, what's your take on the Jets and the Giants here at the big blue gangrene power hour?
I think most of us knew that both teams were going to be 1-1 by the end of week two.
Well, that's what you said last week.
Well, I think most of us predicted that. Most people, whether it's us or the experts.
The experts. What do the experts? What do the experts fucking know?
We are the experts.
We are the experts. That's a Jonathan Grossman, who is a Packers fan. They had the Packers written off after week one.
Yeah.
They basically pummeled the Bears.
Not like Eli Manning got pummeled, but pummeled.
yes. He got pummeled.
All right. Uploading the audio as we speak. As soon as it's ready, we'll play it.
So, I was going to say, so what did you see from the Giant game? What was your take on that? Do you think the Giants were lucky, or this is just the cream rising to the top?
No, I think Eli is a prime-time quarterback. When the money's on the line, you know, you can pretty much count on him for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
I think so.
I mean, if I was Tampa, I'd be like, listen, somebody cover these guys. I mean, those Giants receivers were just out. They didn't have to fight for anything, really. I mean, those balls were, I mean, I don't know. I would have been so pissed to blow that lead. You know, especially, you know, but I guess. And then the Tampa almost came back and almost won the game. But that the Mike Williams catch was overturned, which I didn't see it. Why it was overturned? But Jim told me he didn't have possession.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Giants Nation if they went 0-2 after week two?
Oh my God!
Forget about it. Fire Coughlin, Eli Stock, this and that.
Get that radio show off the air. It's terrible.
It's terrible. You know,
all right, here's the audio. You ready?
Yeah.
It's done.
Victory formation. Oh, they take a knee, and Manning gets pummeled.
No, he has
Manning's
the ball.
Got the ball. But Manning went to take a knee, and the Bucks bull rushed him and knocked him down. You could see Manning mouthing. That was cheap.
Oh, shit.
Victory formation. Oh, they take a knee, and Manning gets pummeled.
Well,
Manning's
the
got the ball, but Manning went to take a knee, and the Bucks.
Oh, the humanity!
Oh my God! The humanity!
Radio gold, my friend. Radio gold.
I like when he said the
very. Oh, the humanity!
He goes victory formation. What the fuck?
You've never heard that term before?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's not new. That's been he didn't invent this. That's been around.
Victory.
Well, yeah, that's true. You're a Jet fan. When, how many times are you going to hear that? You know, maybe four times a year if you're lucky.
Ah, oh, come on.
Ah.
So, yeah, he gets pummeled. Game you watch, clown. I know he's got himself. He stumbled. You know, with Lyman went into him. Whatever.
Hey, wait. I want to hear it one more time.
Victory formation. Oh, they take a knee, and Manning gets pummeled.
Manning's
got the ball, but Manning went to take a knee, and the Bucks bull rushed him.
I mean, what was this, MMA? Like, he was down on the ground, like, I was just pummeling him in the face.
It's like Grand Theft Auto out there.
So,
the Bucks are grabbing whatever weapons they can find.
And the only reason I would even found that clip was I was watching a show and they were the show, you know, debating it, and they had the radio call like they sometimes do. I was like, pummel this. The guy who was blocking might have gotten pummeled, but he might have been pummeled. Jonathan saying, tap out.
That's great.
So, anywho, you got your Jets and your Giants next week. I tell you, this turnaround for the Giants, the losing deal was David Deal. That's gonna hurt. Who else? Ahmad Branch. I don't think that's gonna hurt. Because frankly, I've seen nothing from this guy.
Downtown Andre Brown filled in nicely on Sunday.
Well, hey, he did fine. He did fine. There's no doubt about it.
For a guy who had negative 1 yards rushing for his career going into the game on Sunday.
And can I ask you this? Because I'm not, I'm not privy to the depth chart of week to week with the Giants. But, you know, I had heard so much about Andy David Wilson. Why wasn't he put in? Is he a different kind of back, like a third down back right now? That's why he wasn't promoted?
He has fumbleitis.
Well, I'm not sure he's completely out of the doghouse yet. He did have a nice 40-yard kickoff return on Sunday.
Ah, okay. Well, you're going to trust him with kickoffs. You might as well trust him with it's only one play, I guess.
Well, I mean, the other thing with Andre Brown is, you know, he'd been in camp with the Giants like 3 years in a row. And, you know, either he'd just get bumped out because of the numbers game or he'd get hurt or, you know, and he wound up with a couple other teams and then the Giants brought him back. I mean, they've always liked his talent. It was just a matter of getting him on the field. You know, it was like Voltek Volsky. Can't get him out of the tub, you know? So.
The Polish sausage.
Yeah.
Wally Wall.
So, you know, I think they were anxious to see what he could do. And I mean, you know, he was the spark. He really was.
So, you got that.
And see, you know, that's the other thing. You know, you look at a guy like Andre Brown, who I don't even know what his salary is, but here's a guy that, you know, bounced around on a couple of practice squads, three different teams, like a third or fourth round draft pick, and here's a guy that, you know, has almost 100 yards multi-purpose on Sunday, and, you know, not making a lot of money. And, you know, that's why guys like Chris Johnson, that big contract that he got with the Titans.
Oh boy!
You know, I think this is a different game. You know, this isn't. You know, the days of the
passing league now.
What's that?
It's a passing league. Nope.
But I think offensive lines have changed, and it doesn't seem to be as difficult to get a running game going from the unknown guys. You know, I mean, look, you know, some of the running backs around, it's not like, you know, 15 years ago where, you know, you had like 10 or 15 elite running backs in the league. You know, you had your Marcus Allen and you had your Walter Payton and You know, even Joe Morris was putting up big numbers in those days. And then you had, you know, all those great running backs that went through Cleveland and Denver. And the Jets had Freeman McNeil. And Miami had, who's the running back they had? Oh, I can't think of his name.
Not the Pothead.
No, no, before him, before him. Well, like the Niners. The Niners.
The Pothead.
The Oilers had Earl Campbell. The Cowboys had Dorsett and Emmitt Smith. And you know, there were just seemed to be a lot more elite running backs in those days. And now it's lesser known guys that are making the difference for teams. I mean, look at Denver a couple of years ago. Every year they were churning out a different guy you never heard of was getting 1,000 yards, sometimes two of them.
Yeah.
Mike Anderson, Orlandis Gary, Clinton Portis. You know?
Yeah, no. They had limited shelf life, you know?
It's just I just think it's a different game. The offensive lines are more athletic, and the way that, you know, different offenses are just different. I just think it's you don't need that premier running back, that first round draft pick, to be the difference maker anymore.
Well, I certainly agree with you there. I mean, but there are some teams that still heavily rely. The Ravens are you know, with Ray Rice. You've got Seattle with Marshawn Lynch.
The two guys in Carolina, friggin' you know,
D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah.
And then you got Maurice Jones-Drew down in Jacksonville. I mean, right. I'm not saying there aren't big time running backs in the league. I'm just saying it's not like it was. I think you had dominant running backs in those days.
It's certainly like Costa said, it's a wide receiver league now because the rules are geared towards, you know, the receivers scoring touchdowns. Plus,
you even breathe on them wrong, you'll get a pass interference penalty.
I know. And half these guys are incompetent. Speak about incompetence.
And sometimes you don't even have to do that, like that phantom pass interference call in the Steelers-Jets game.
Oh, my God. That was a disgrace. That was a disgrace. That was one of the worst calls. I mean, there's a lot of them. They actually mispronounced one of the refs in that game, gave a Jet guy 15 years for a personal foul. 15 years, not yards. Years.
Yeah.
And last night they gave the penalty to the red team. And they said, you know, penalty 10 yards on red. I mean, I can't even say the Falcons, these guys. And then this LeSean McCoy, the McCoy guy, what's his name? First name, I can't think of it. Well, you know what McCoy said? He had the ref told him that he has McCoy on his fantasy team. You better do good today.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I had to mute out for a minute. Did you mention the referee that had to get taken off the Saints game because they found out he's a Saints fan?
Yeah, I mean, come on. What is going on here?
And, you know, last week, I thought, in week one, I thought, you know, each of the games that I watched, you saw a few mistakes here and there, nothing major. But I think the second week it got a lot worse. The players are starting to take more liberties. They're pushing the limits. They're trying to intimidate the referees. If this doesn't get settled by week four or five, you're going to see anarchy on the field. You'll see fights, brawls. I'm telling you, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly.
And you know, I hate to bring this point. Well, I don't hate to it. I know this. As long as the fans don't care. I mean, fans don't care. They're going to watch the games no matter what.
True.
You're not going to miss your Giants. You're not going to miss your Jets. So I don't see where the NFL has any – there's no leverage for me for the NFL to settle with these guys because they know that the product's going to be watched no matter who's reffing this, whether it's unfair. I mean, it was abominable last week. And, you know, I think there's some weeks where it's going to be good, I mean, like, you won't notice it, and there's going to be weeks where it's just going to be so... Or it could just fall to shit from here on in. Who knows? I mean, it's been bad. And then I think it was the Jet game or was the Giant game. I think it was the Jets' third quarter. They were underneath that hood for like 20 minutes. I mean, you got to speed these games along. I mean, I know I don't got much to do, but really, I don't want to be sitting in front of TV watching football all day and all night. Because these guys are reviewing calls that everybody in the whole place could see. Oisha Moisha. As the Jews who play, what you call it? Jews who play dodgeball would say. Okay. So that's it for me.
Yes. Sorry, had to hang up and call back in there. The audio was getting really fuzzy.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's not your fault. It was either Skype or a Blog Talk Radio, or my internet connection was fuzzy there for a minute or something. But I was having a hard time hearing you, so I just muted out.
I was saying, because you didn't laugh at my joke. I got a little concerned. It's an inside joke. I said, it's like Oisha Moisha with these refs as the Jewish dodgeball captain with
See, that is a good joke. Shaboom. Shaboom and Happy New Year to any of you that celebrate and whoever of you don't.
Yeah,
all right. What else you got, Costa? Anything?
I'm out. I'm going to bail out.
All right. Let's get to the predictions then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so last week...
I missed it.
We had Eddie taking the... he took Tampa. That was a push. I took the Giants.
That should have never been a push. That was a freaking disgrace.
Eddie took Baltimore, which he got the win. And he took Kansas City, which was a loss. I took Houston, which was my win of the week, and I took the Jets, who fucked me again.
Never take the Jets. That's the rule.
I really thought that was going to, like I said last week, I didn't think they were going to win. I just thought they'd keep it close. So Eddie and I were both 1-1-1 last week. So we're going to try this again. This week I get to go first.
Yeah.
Let me cue the music here because I got some new music for us for the picks. And before we get into the picks, in case you haven't heard, Steve Sable passed away today at the age of 69. He's been battling brain cancer for the last year and a half. He was the genius behind NFL films, and he will be missed without a doubt.
Definitely. I think a lot of us were introduced or got even... totally into the sport by watching those NFL films, and they were great.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're old enough to remember, well, first of all, you remember the Steve song that we're playing here, and then you had John, the great John Facenda, who has one of the all-time great voices, the Green Bay Packers Lambeau Field of the frozen tundra. All right. So let's see what we got this week. Looking over the picks. We're looking over the lines. Did you get the link to come up?
Nah, I can't get it up yet.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
The page is not loading for me. I'm trying. But you go ahead with your picks, and I'll try to figure this out.
All right. So you have the link. You just can't get the page to come up?
Yeah, it won't come up.
All right. I am going to take... I'm going to stick with one of my picks from last week. I'm going to take the Houston Texans, giving 2 to the Denver Broncos in Denver. I am going to take... I am going to take the Jets again, laying 3 to the Dolphins. And I will take Tampa Bay +7 at Dallas. So there you have my picks. Houston laying 2, the Jets laying 3 to Miami, and Tampa Bay +7 at the Cowboys.
Hmm.
Did you get the link to work?
No, it's not working. I don't get it because I even Googled NFLfootballlock.com, then clicked on NFL lines, and I get hung up.
Well, just Google Vegas NFL Vegas lines or something. Maybe the website went down, and I just already had the page pulled up, you know?
Okay, let's see. NFL Vegas lines. All right, I'm pulling the page up, and here it's loading. Okay.
Tonight.
Tonight. The 4-7 Jets. All right, here we go. I am going to take. Oh, boy. I didn't prepare at all.
I didn't either. I'm right off the cuff. It's the way it should be.
Man, this is going to be tough. Arizona. Who's giving 10 Arizona? The Eagles?
10.
What am I looking at?
I don't know. I'm seeing Philly favored by 4.
How to read this damn thing. It's some kind of wacky money odds thing. Oh, I can't. What? All right, just give me the spread.
All right,
I'll tell you what. Wait a minute.
Let me see if I can. Hold on. Let me see if I can do this. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me see
what's
if I can.
We'll do it quick.
Let me see if this works first. And if it doesn't, then we'll go the other way. Of course, some do go both ways. All right, here you go. I posted them in the chat room.
Oh. Oh, boy. This is trying to be a real bit for my time. All right, here we go. Giants giving 1 in Carolina. I ain't touching that game. Chicago giving 7.5 against St. Louis. Chicago, I don't know. Rams look okay. That Danny and the Amendola had a great game. Dallas, giving 7 at Tampa Bay. I can't touch either of those teams. San Francisco, giving 7 against the Vikings. I'll go with Kristen Frendak, San Francisco Giants in that game. San Francisco 49. Sorry. I will be giving the Redskins giving 3.5 to Cincinnati. Nah, I touched that. You know what? I'll take Washington giving 3.5 to Cincinnati. And my underdog special is going to be... No, not my underdog special. It's my favorite special. The Texans giving 2 against the Broncos.
I took the Texans. You can't take I took the Texans. You can't take the Texans. That was the rule, because remember last week you took Baltimore. So we decided we can't take the same pick.
I'll take the Steelers to make 4 versus the hapless Oakland Raiders.
All right, so there you have it. Niners laying 7, Washington laying 3.5, Pittsburgh laying 4. Last week he took all underdogs, this week he's going all favorites. And again, I got Houston laying 2, the Jets laying 3, Tampa Bay +7. There you have it. We're on overtime, free internet radio tonight.
That's right. Bonus. So, you're just a Giant fan. Try to play nice on that Twitter, the twatter. But always keep it rough and raucous on our Facebook page, the Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour page, one of the greatest pages of all time has ever been made on the internet.
All right, everybody, have a good night. You doing the hockey card show tomorrow night?
Hockey card show, hockey card night live tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
All right, I will try and be around for that. Everybody, have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.